You're listening to the Doheny Podcast Network. The Doheny Eye Institute, working for all to see. Your host is Jody Becker.
My guests are a good friend of the Doheny Podcast, Dr. Alex Wong, MD, PhD, and this time he brought a friend from Google, Dr. Nama Hamel. Dr. Hamel is an ophthalmologist and she works in AI. And this is going to be a very interesting episode of the DPN because what in the heck does Google have to do with your eyesight? Well, more than you might think, Google is looking into how smart machine learning really is and how it can make us smart. And some of what they're up to is about retinal disease and glaucoma, and it's pretty fascinating. Dr. Wong, who is renowned for his research and clinical excellence, and Dr. Hamel, who is an expert in both glaucoma and AI, have known each other for many years, since Dr. Hamel arrived in the U.S. from Israel for a fellowship at UC San Diego. She also has a degree in health informatics from UC Davis, and I'm going to toss it to you, Dr. Wong, to get us rolling. So you met, I'm guessing, because of intersecting interests, is that right?
That's right. Well, we met when I was a fellow at UCSD, the University of California, San Diego. And, you know, at UCSD, there are pairs of domestic clinical and international research fellows that always happen to line up. And so when I was the domestic clinical fellow at that time, Nama was our partner. There were three of us and myself, Jonathan Tung, who's at Kaiser now, and her, that kind of, you know, helped move the clinic through and, you know, participate in a lot of the research. And so we always had that shared interest in glaucoma. And then, and, you know, as we've all moved on in our careers, you know, it's been a real privilege to, for me to see, you know, Nama, you know, move from clinical to clinical research and now really an avant-garde topic in how we deal with eye diagnostics and research in the future, which is artificial intelligence. My interest is, of course, glaucoma. And most of the work in imaging research is usually start with the retina, but ultimately moves to glaucoma. And so that's why, you know, Nama, with her background in both glaucoma and now in AI, I mean, she really fits a need and moving ahead in the future.
So Nama, can you talk a little bit about what your team is working on?
So our team is working on developing machine learning models to detect diseases in retina images, in fundus images. Some of the work that's been published is around diabetic retinopathy. That was the original first work. And since then, our team has developed and built upon that, both additional diseases. We have a paper detecting glaucomatous optic neuropathy in fundus images that was just accepted to ophthalmology. So there is glaucoma work, Alex. And in addition, some of the work is around detecting novel signals, things that we didn't expect to find in fundus images. I think one of the papers that was published last year was around predicting risk of major cardiac adverse events. But as an ophthalmologist, that paper, or really struck me in that paper, and I think the entire ophthalmology community, because in every conference I've been to in the past year, this has been a major point of discussion, was the ability of the model to detect or to predict self-reported sex from the fundus photo, which is something that ophthalmologists can't do, never needed to do, because the patient is always in front of us and we can ask.
Right.
But so it's not clinically useful, but it does demonstrate the power of machine learning.
So can I back up a tiny bit and ask a very fundamental question about the Google research, which is why? Why are you doing it?
Google is looking to advance the world. We have the ability to do this. We have very, very bright people. I'm not talking about doctors. I'm talking about machine learning specialists. And one of the nice things about Google is that if there are people at Google who have the passion and the will, and they manage to convince people to put resources into it, then a lot of projects get going like this. So our project was actually started by one MD PhD who was very passionate about using machine learning to advance healthcare, to make healthcare accessible, and she pushed this through, and this started with the diabetic retinopathy paper.
And so what you were saying is that what was discovered in one of these evaluations of how the images were being read by AI was that it could also determine whether the patient was male or female. Is that right?
Yes. So the way it works is you train a model by showing it the photo and then giving it information. And it can be the patient's sex or the individual sex. It can be what level of diabetic retinopathy is seen in the photo. It can be age. It can be whether that patient had or didn't have an acute MI, heart attack, 5 years from now. And the model looks at the photo, and knowing the data that you give it, it learns to predict that from the photo.
Wow. So Dr. Wong, I'm very curious, how does this compare to the existing diagnostic technology?
Well, it's very powerful. And it's very powerful on two fronts, something that, you know, Nama alluded to, which is that, you know, number one, you can diagnose, and you can diagnose a lot quickly. Okay. But, you know, that is, you know, then buttressed by the idea that you can learn more and really what some consider to be just as exciting, if not more. So, for instance, you know, if you train your model to diabetic retinopathy, sure, you can take a lot of photos throughout the world and have kind of auto detection and auto diagnosis and facilitate care, you know, in third world countries, for instance. That's great. But, you know, that could have been overcome by just having more people, for instance. The other half that's kind of amazing, for instance, you know, speaking to the gender issue, is then that the model can then identify relationships that we didn't know before. And so now you're actually learning new things. For instance, you can interrogate the model to say, you know, where was it focused on the eye to determine the gender? And that's very exciting.
I'm wondering if both of you could also tell us a little bit about some of the significant observations when you unpack the diagnoses that the AI is making in training new doctors who are, for example, looking at some of these images for the first times and haven't been making their own diagnoses and looking at reading images for 10 or 20 years. How is it different?
So for the glaucoma work or glaucomatous optic neuropathy work, because this was just looking at the optic nerve, we asked our graders to note very, very deeply on each image all the different optic nerve head features and then give an overall assessment of how likely this nerve is to be glaucomatous. And when we ran correlations, we ran a logistic regression to see the correlation between the different optic nerve head features and the overall assessment, because glaucoma is a gut feel. So we wanted to see which of the different features are weighed more heavily by glaucoma specialists and try to see how glaucoma specialists think when they come up with their decision, clinical decision. And we did the same with the model, and we compared them. And actually, the model and the clinicians think very similarly, which is good news because it means we can explain what the model is doing. We can also potentially use this. We haven't done this, but since you're asking, we can potentially use this to train people who have never looked at an optic nerve to highlight specific features, potentially.
And were the differences in the way that they were being noted by the AI and the doctors very nuanced, or was it something very specific that you saw repeated in various iterations?
So we generally looked at them to see how they correlated, and they were very close. We're talking 86,000 images. So for the training data, and then thousands of images for the validation data. So we didn't look at each and every one of them separately.
Of course.
But we looked at the trends. And then there are some nuances because the data came from a diabetic retinopathy screening population. So there were all diabetics. So around the disc hemorrhages, there was some uncertainty because some of the hemorrhages are not glaucoma. So they were not really highly correlated, which was surprising because disc hemorrhage we would expect to be highly correlated with glaucoma.
I mean, ultimately, you know, anything can be used as a teaching tool. because there's a decision-making process that, you know, occurs here, both by the algorithm as well as, you know, the expert clinicians that they were compared to, right? And so, you know, especially, you know, put in front of trainees who are just getting into, you know, eye exams and, you know, grading, you know, glaucoma, you know, severity and progression, you know, just going through that exercise can be helpful to them when they look at what the machine did and when they look at what the expert did themselves as well, because you realize that, you know, everyone can do their assessment a little differently, a bit in terms of different steps as well as, you know, different emphasis on different things. And so that comparison itself can be, you know, educational for the student to actually watch it occur. And then what they can do is that, you know, as individual practitioners, they can adopt a style that, you know, fits them and makes sense to them by saying, oh, this practitioner did this way, the machine did this way, someone else did it another way. And so ultimately they have to find something that fits with their style and the way they think. And so that this gives them kind of a palette of approaches to take.
So doctors, I'd like to ask both of you, would you characterize this as emerging technology or has it already emerged? What is the adoption like?
This is an emerging technology because for this to be adopted, it needs to be validated. So at least for our work, my team's work, most of it is research and publishing a paper that says, oh, we've developed a machine learning model that can predict this and this and this, still doesn't mean it will work in the real world. For it to work in the real world, it needs to be generalizable. So if we train a model on images, on fundus photos taken from a specific camera, it will not necessarily perform on images taken from a different camera. It will not necessarily perform if the field of view is not the same. So there's a lot of validation that needs to be done in terms of the population. It has to be the same population in age, gender mix, ethnicity, and it has to be generalizable to different machines.
So Dr. Wong, is this on the horizon?
It's absolutely on the horizon. I mean, you know, there are going to be tools put forth, you know, by Google and others to try to apply this to, you know, improve diagnostics. You know, the power is to be able to handle a lot of information very quickly and remotely, because then in that case, you know, you don't always have to actually see the patient in front of you if high quality images can be provided to you by some kind of, you know, local acquisition center. So, you know, I think clearly there's going to be, you know, a big push here. Ophthalmology was a natural entry point because we're such an imaging-based discipline. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how this goes. I mean, we will, I believe, be the kind of the mark, if you will, or the goalpost about if we can do this, you know, other disciplines will definitely follow.
Your fourth annual Doheny UCLA International Glaucoma Symposium will be in November. Dr. Hamill, will you present some of this information?
Yes, definitely.
Absolutely. We're looking forward to that. I mean, we're very, you know, fortunate to now be having our fourth, you know, event for, you know, the Doheny and UCLA International Glaucoma Symposium. You know, we always have fantastic speakers from across the world bringing in interesting topics. And in this case, with, for instance, NAMA with artificial intelligence, we're looking forward to this because we're going to have a little session where, you know, hopefully we can pit man versus machine and see how people do.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Hamill's going to bring the best advice and see if, you know, she can put us to shame.
Uh-oh. Okay,
we'll
stay
do some
tuned.
Glaucoma diagnosing on the floor.
Dr. Alex Wong and Dr. Nama Hamill, thank you both so very much for joining me on the Doheny podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you'd like to support the work of the Doheny Eye Institute, please visit the website at doheny.org.
The Doheny Eye Institute, at the forefront in eradicating eye disease for nearly 70 years, is dedicated to providing state-of-the-art clinical services and supporting leading researchers in the quest for treatments that stabilize and improve the precious sense of sight. Doheny is now affiliated with UCLA Stein Eye Institute. For more information about our doctors and their innovative work in the quest for better vision, visit our website, doheny.org.